is still happening.
It's raging.
Month 3 of the lockdown?
Yeah, I'm going on 3 months working from home. Fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's not great. I can't move to New Zealand, even though I signed a contract for a job there. That sucks. And I'm stuck in Tokyo, and I can't hang out with my friends because of the lockdown. But we're still bringing you this stupid fucking podcast.
You know, we're slowly stewing away in our own crazy juices, and then but the one consistent thing in my life right now is this podcast, which is maybe even further driving my madness.
We haven't punished ourselves too much yet this season. We've mostly been watching enjoyable films.
Yeah, I think the effort we placed this season on choosing, you know, quality movies and also those that fit the mandate has probably prevented the kind of hard parts of season one, like Jungle to Jungle or something like that.
Hi, we're not here right now. Leave a message, we'll call you right back.
Charlie, pick up, it's me.
You're probably in the bathroom making yourself look beautiful.
I don't want you feeling trapped by Mimi.
Try to open up to him. Just don't leave him alone with the cat.
I'll see you soon. I love you. Bye.
Right. Well, so this is a movie I think we've mentioned on the cast before.
Hey, we had to have, yeah.
This is going along with the concept that food in the movies equals brunchy. You remember back to Mrs. Doubtfire, the gold standard. There's the drive-by fruiting.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of these meal scenes and, like, this brightness to it. And, you know, people are saying Breakfast at Tiffany's, Breakfast Club. Okay, we did those.
Yeah.
All right. We're giving you all these damn movies that people, when we first explained brunch movies, mm-hmm. It's just the from the title they're throwing out. So we're kind of continuing in this vein.
So
we're examining, does food in a movie make the movie brunchy?
And I also think one of the differences is that in the other podcast, we would celebrate the food, the meal itself would be in the title, Breakfast Club, Breakfast at Tiffany's. But in this one, we're celebrating the people who make breakfast and brunch.
Mm.
The chefs.
Indeed.
The cooks.
Yeah, we watched The Chefs, and is that the name of it?
Chefs.
Or is that the sequel?
Yes, the sequel is just two guys, as opposed to
Chefs. But it's a backwards two that looks like an S.
Yeah, that is the worst potential pitch.
Yeah, this movie needs a sequel, yeah, man. Does his restaurant succeed?
Yeah. Does the restaurant?
Where's the that thing you do? You know, 4 years from now.
Mm-hmm. And it's just him and his son, and they're both chefs, and they're just hanging out.
You know? We're talking about Jon Favreau, written and directed and starred in his film Chef, which is about a chef. Mm-hmm. Coincidentally. And he is, you know, he's got a good job at a nice, fancy restaurant. It seems like a dream job for a chef, but he has some disagreements with the owner. He gets a bad review, flips out on Twitter, gets into a virtual and physical fisticuffs of sort with this food critic, loses his job, and decides to start a food truck, and also uses making the food truck to bond with his son, who is part of his, I guess, estranged marriage, divorce. And then it becomes kind of a road trip movie. He and his son and his other chef pal drive across the country, setting up this food truck. And that's basically the plot.
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman plays a cantankerous owner who wants to stick to the menu. He doesn't believe in the soul of the food. He's like, oh, gee, Jon Favreau, I'm going to have to count the number of menu items on, you know, and he goes into that Rain Man character out of nowhere. And I wish Dustin Hoffman would separate himself a little bit as an actor from Rain Man, but he just keeps falling into it. And I don't know, I thought it was distracting and thought it was slightly inappropriate in this movie.
Yeah.
But thank God Jon Favreau's there to light the way.
Wait, staff, have them taste the food. I want them to understand what we're going for.
Okay.
Okay? We're not pushing specials today. The whole menu is special.
I'm excited.
I'm excited. I'm finally happy. I'm happy, okay? Am I allowed to be happy at work?
Carl, we're staying with the same menu, right?
Yeah, I have something really good planned for tonight. I'm gonna let you say it's not sweetbreads. Yeah, you're gonna be able to taste it.
That may be true, but
Tuesday we have pancakes.
Hey, no, I was on Twitter. I was promoting the restaurant. I was on Twitter.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Maple syrup.
Yeah, you bet your butt.
Bet your butt.
The whole reason everybody's here tonight is because I called out Ramsay and Michelle online, and they're all coming to watch me stick it in his ass.
I don't have my toothpicks.
I'm not gonna fucking apologize to that guy.
What do you mean?
You see what he wrote about me?
I don't have my maple syrup either. I'm gonna be without my maple syrup and my toothpicks.
You want me to cook the same food?
The same food
that he ripped apart? The same guy who's coming tonight?
Maple syrup is supposed to be on the table before the pancakes.
Of course, when they bring the maple syrup after the pancakes, it'll definitely be too late.
I'm not cooking sweetbreads. Listen to me. The kitchen is my domain. That was our deal.
We're going to be here the entire morning with no maple syrup, right? and no toothpicks. I'm definitely not right. not going to have my pancakes with
you know, it doesn't sound like it's not a very high stakes movie, which I think is great. You know, really, it's kind of low stakes. It's kind of family bonding, feel good. And to be honest, it made me feel good. I love this movie. Yeah, it was so good.
It has really nice scenes of what it's like being in the kitchen. Not overboard, but it's definitely a love letter to the craft. And I think it's inspired a lot by Roy Choi, who is known for Kogi, the Korean taco truck in L.A., which was an early adopter of Twitter before Twitter was big. There's a lot of people I know that signed up for Twitter because it was the only way you could find out where the Kogi taco truck was parked in L.A. And so, like, the idea that they would tweet out, hey, we're going to be here, and then there'd be a line already formed when they pulled up the truck, that is the story of Roy Choi and Kogi. And Roy Choi was he was an executive producer on this, I think.
I know he was a consultant to it. Did he get production credit as well?
I think he did to get EP.
Oh, wow. Yeah, good, you get a little good, kind of nice EP on that one.
And how'd you get that crowd? You got a huge crowd outside?
How'd I get the crowd? I just came back from shop and there was this long line. I thought it was a mistake.
I tweeted it.
You what?
What'd you do?
I tweeted a picture on your account, then geotagged it. Look.
Wait a minute, you did what? You geo?
I tagged it so they can mark us on their maps.
Look at those pictures.
What'd you get these pictures from here? Mm-hmm. How'd you get those pictures from here?
When I was going to Cafe du Monde.
And you put it online?
Mm-hmm.
You're a genius, kid.
You're the reason everybody's here, you know that.
You're my new head of marketing.
We've gone from probably this much amount of meat to now, you know, this. You know, we go through like 300-400 pounds of meat a day. I like to think it's the food, but I have to give all credit to the Twitter.
You know, the thing is about this movie, and I've been critical of Jon Favreau in some of the movies that he's done. I like a lot of them, and I also dislike some of them.
Yeah, this is our second Favreau joint that we've done.
Yeah. And to be honest, this one, for a guy that does things like The Lion King, and how soulless and dry that movie was, this is really the polar opposite. It's kind of like a love letter to food, and I just really enjoyed it. My wife loved it. You know, I'd seen this movie a few times. I mean, it's like my third time watching it. And it makes you want to quit the soulless day-to-day and start your passion project.
I just don't like to see you like this.
Like when I'm fine, I just have to get back to work.
You're never going to be happy cooking for someone else.
Is this about the food truck? I don't want to talk about the food truck again.
Why not? You can cook your own food. You can be your own boss. I can book you for all the parties that I'm doing.
I appreciate the offer, but I don't need any charity from you or your ex-husband.
Yeah, it really makes you think that I, too, can have a food truck that will be very popular.
Except I suck. And, you know.
Right, yeah. Except I am not a master chef.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we kind of glossed over. There is... So... Let's talk about, should we talk a little bit about who Jon Favreau gets to bang in this movie?
Yeah, he's banging left and right. So
there's a lot of, like, stars in this movie, I think. Yeah. You know, Favreau and his work on the Marvel Universe, he's met a lot of people, and so he was able to kind of pull from that pool. We've got Robert Downey Jr., who plays his ex-wife's ex-husband.
Yeah, a kind of a pointless brief role. Scene. I mean, it was just a cameo role. Like I said, feel good movie. He was funny and confusing. He was Robert Downey Jr. It wasn't even really acting.
Look at you. She's pregnant. Just found out. This one? Pissed on a stick, came in, laid it on me 5 seconds ago.
Is he? So it's yours?
That's what she's saying.
You don't.
I know. I got a problem because she's. Best receptionist I've ever had.
Yeah.
Good news is I had my tubes tied in 08, so clearly she's also a fucking liar.
Right. That's tough.
What do you want? Do you want coconut water? You okay?
I'm all right. I'm all right.
Do you want a drink?
We got Scarlett Johansson, which plays the front of house.
The sultry hostess who...
Of the restaurant that he leaves.
He flavor bangs her with pasta.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, oh, baby, let's go have sex. And she's like, we agreed not to do this. He's like, let me cook for you.
And that pasta's great, though.
She eats that pasta, and she's just like, I have to fuck you now. Yeah.
I mean, I've made that pasta at home, like, kind of following what he did, and it is very sensuous and exciting. It's delicious, so...
Yeah, but I bet you didn't go to bed with Scarlett Johansson afterwards.
No, I'm married, and, you know, I'm sure Scarlett would want me... To, you know, but look, I'm a faithful man, and I just wouldn't.
What do you want me to say to you?
That's true.
You want me to tell you that you're the best chef that I ever worked with. And it's true, because you are. You are, Carl. You are the best chef I ever worked with. I mean it.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Both agreed not to do that.
I know, but why don't I just cook you something?
Okay, fuck it.
Yeah, so Scarlett Johansson is your side chick. So it must mean that your main chick is no good. His main chick is Sofia Vergara.
Yeah. And she's still, like, she's peak hot here. You know, she's looking smoking in this movie.
So we've been talking about the women he's sleeping with in this movie, and I think it's time we have to do our segment that we talked about in a previous podcast, Hollywood Thoughts.
What you gonna do with all that junk inside your trunk?
I'ma get you drunk, get you love drunk off my hump, 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 my lovely little lumps. Check it out.
Man, let me tell you about the ladies in this movie. You got big tittied Scarlett Johansson. You got even bigger titties, Sofia Vergara.
Did you know that Scarlett Johansson has the same measurements as Marilyn Monroe?
Is that true?
It was something that they used to say about her.
That is a fun fact right there.
Yeah, that's a Hollywood thought. That's a Hollywood. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like.
But yeah, we have to say, like, there's a lot of beautiful women in Hollywood, right? A lot of them.
Yeah, maybe too many.
ScarJo is definitely up there, but, you know, but if we're just talking about the best cans in Hollywood, I mean, ScarJo and Sofia Vergara are way up there.
Selma Hayek has to be up there.
Oh, Selma Hayek, definitely. Definitely. Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah, Jennifer Love Hewitt. She got thick in the early 2000s. She was very petite. She's transformed herself. I like that this segment's for the fellas. Also, if you're a lady still listening to this segment, can you please skip ahead?
This is definitely for the fellas.
This segment's for the fellas.
Maybe. We've done plenty of who's your ideal man, who's your perfect man. So this one's for the fellas. Okay?
Right, this segment, you know. Maybe we'll bring it out to a full cast someday. Just Hollywood thoughts. But for the moment.
So Jon Favreau is definitely... thinks the way we do.
Yeah. Is there any other hot women in this?
Get some ladies with the biggest cans possible in all your movies.
I mean, it's not a bad strategy.
No.
It's not a bad strategy. I am worried, though, that the new crop of actresses we're seeing don't have the cans of old. You know, where's the next ScarJo? Where's the next Sofia Vergara? They're all, they don't have that you know, that character to them. You know,
are we going back to 90s heroin chic?
Yeah, I think we're kind of reverting back to that. It's all ass now. And
it is all ass.
It's all ass. So
which Arnold would like.
Yeah. That Brazilian video.
You know something? After watching the mulattoes shake it, I can absolutely understand why Brazil is totally devoted to my favorite body part, the ass.
All right, this has been Hollywood Thoughts.
My hopes, they got you spending all your money on me. Spending time on me, spending all your money on me.
That was a great segment, man. I can't, but it's only for the fellas, though. So
it's only for the fellas.
Yeah.
I guess. So the reason we brought up Sofia Vergara is that is his ex-wife. So the other plot in this is that they have a child together, and he's not a very good dad because he's too busy being a chef, and he can't fulfill his promises. He can't take his son to New Orleans, but this whole food truck business gives him an opportunity. His son gets to ride along with him. And in fact, his son is responsible for the majority of the success of the food truck, because son is the one that introduces him to Twitter and Facebook. And he's doing all these posts. And he's making the videos. And so, they become great friends and father-son.
Yeah, so there's father-son bonding. There's bro bonding with John Leguizamo. I don't know how you say his name. Mm-hmm. Who plays the assistant chef and kind of
the sous chef. That's an industry term.
An industry term, sure. And overall,
and it's not referring to the Sioux Indians.
Oh yeah, no, it's a
French SOUS.
Right, and he's charming, John Leguizamo. I don't know how to say his name. I thought Leguizamo was Italian. I didn't know that it's. Is it Italian? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Favreau, not Cuban, but he's into Cuban food.
Yeah, he's really into Cuban food. That's why they cook those Cubano sandwiches.
Yeah, and Leguizamo, if he is Italian, is this a case of cultural appropriation?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Yes.
I think we've exposed maybe the underlying problematic theme within this movie, though. Yeah.
Yeah. John Favreau, you're not allowed to play Cuban, okay?
You're canceled, John Favreau.
Yeah. Stop trying to pretend that you're Cuban.
Yeah. He's definitely pretending.
Just because you got a big old belly.
You can dance.
And he smokes cigars. Yeah. And you like to eat Cubano sandwiches.
He doesn't drink beer. He only drinks cerveza. So, you know that he's...
Yeah, get out of here.
Get out of here, man.
Quit appropriating Cuban. Julian Castro. Shout out to Julian Castro.
Yeah, shout out Castro.
What's his name? What's the boy?
Ilian Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah, that's who I was thinking of, yeah. Yeah, shout out to Ilian Gonzalez.
Oh, man, that was wild. I didn't... Obviously, we were young when that happened, but... America has always been really stupid. If you look back at that, if you ever need a reminder, remind yourself of that.
Yeah, we think, like, Trump and the kids in cages is bad, but this was just another thing that... The FBI just, like, raided the home and ripped him out of his family's arms to take him back to Cuba.
Going back to Cuba, son. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, at least he has healthcare there, unlike the kids in cages.
Speaking
so,
of all this,
you know,
let's get a little bit political right now.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Get political, political. I want to get political. Let's get into politics.
So,
let me be a Tory bitch.
I think John Favreau is a talented guy. Now, I've been critical of The Lion King, but I enjoyed this movie. I thought Iron Man's one of the best Marvel movies, even though
set the stage for the Marvel movies to come.
I think it's a shame that he splits his time being a good actor, a great director, with that podcast, our rivals, Pod Save America. I think that he should quit Pod Save America and focus on his artistic side. Look, the last thing I want is lukewarm Trump takes. The last thing I want is a focus on Russiagate that ended up leading nowhere. Do people even fucking remember that Trump was impeached? Does it matter at all as 300,000, we trend towards 100,000 deaths of coronavirus? No. Pod Save America is a waste of time. It's blowing your mind. It's so bad. And Jon Favreau, I mean, I just wish he would stop it with the politics, you know?
You know that's a different Jon Favreau, right?
What?
Let's get political, political. I want to get political. Let's get into politics. Let me be your Tory bitch. Your Tory
should we get into our hot cakes? Hot takes, hot cakes?
Yeah, just segment after segment. Let's do it.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
All right.
I can start. Sure. I'll start with my hot cake.
Oh, okay.
My hot cake, despite, you know, many, you know, if I count them up, four really hot cakes that are in this movie. Boy, my hot cake is Amy Sedaris. Just anytime she shows up in a movie, and she always just kills it. A lot of times you can't recognize her because she's got weird makeup. She plays the publicist that he's on the phone with.
I was trying to think who is Amy Sedaris. I forgot she was.
It's just one small scene, but she kills it. And Amy Sedaris is just amazing in everything she's in, even those Target commercials that she did.
You got two choices. You can either lean into it and work it for all it's worth.
Like Honey Boo Boo, I don't want to do this.
Do you know how much money she pulls down? Or her mother?
I don't care what she makes, just get to your point.
Or you can go underground and wait till the storm passes. You got two choices.
I thought this shit lives forever online.
It does, but there's so much news out there, and it's so fast, and there's so much white noise, nobody remembers anything.
Okay, thank you for taking the time and walking me through everything. It's very illuminating.
Oh, you're hanging up? Okay, listen, I want you to call anytime. I'm right here. If you can't get me, I'm on a cell phone, and I've got a pager.
Okay, thank you, and thank Inez for me.
No, thank you. And what about Hell's Kitchen?
What about it?
You still want me to pursue it, right?
No, I don't want you to pursue it.
Okay, I won't call him, but I'll email him.
Are you not listening to... I'm going to go, okay? I got a call coming in.
Okay, all right. I'll tell you how a Hell's Kitchen goes.
I would say that's a good hot cake. I'm going to... Like you said, there's four very nice hot cakes in this, and I'm going to go with a different pair of hot cakes, and that's cornstarch balls of Jon Favreau.
Mm, okay.
And the meat reason being, in this movie, it's humid, so they cornstarch their balls to provide a drying effect, right?
Mm.
I never
like a talcum powder.
Like a talcum powder. And then, but if we think that about that, that means those balls have been with Sofia Vergara and ScarJo. So what I'm getting myself into is I just bought a big box of cornstarch. My wife is like, please, please stop it. It's not that warm yet. It's only in, you know, May. But I'm running through clothes right now. It's a disaster in my place.
And
I think it's just great. I think that it's a cool tip for all you fellas out there, and we know we got a lot of fellas listening to this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So, hot cake, cornstarch, your balls.
What are you doing?
Dude, I'm putting a little cornstarch on my werewolves, man. It's too humid down here.
Dad, wake up.
What?
Martin's putting cornstarch on his balls.
You putting cornstarch on your balls?
Yes, sir.
Let me get some?
Okay.
My hot take is that food trucks are kind of cool. I think it's pretty cool to run a food truck. And I wish there were more of them. In Japan, we're a little bereft of food trucks here. You know, it's not a lot. So it's a pretty controversial take that food trucks are cool. They could challenge businesses and stuff. I myself, I don't want to give away too much, but I have a history of studying food trucks. And I think that... food trucks are pretty cool. It's a controversial hot take right there. What do you think about that, Andy?
I don't think much of that hot take at all. Because my hot take is that food trucks are the worst.
Oh, no. Are we at polar opposites here?
Listen. Have you ever heard of just getting food from not a truck?
Like a restaurant.
What is it? Why are all these people cooking in trucks these days? Hmm. What's wrong with going to a restaurant? What's wrong with sitting down and having a meal? What's wrong with having your food delivered? You know, like already kitchens are just, you know, they're burning gas and coal and oil and animals, and so eating is terrible for the environment. Okay, if you care about the environment, you should stop eating.
Yeah.
Okay. And so why don't you just load all of that pollution and put it into a fossil fuel burning truck and drive it all around Los Angeles? How about that? You know, you just not enough carbon cost to your grilled cheese sandwich, you yuppie pricks.
Oh wow, man.
I'm coming in hot.
Yeah, that was really hot. You
fuck went, food trucks.
You went for the jugular there. You know,
listen, we should all just be just levitating until we die. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't touch anything. Don't eat anything. Just let nature return.
I mean, okay. I do think that in the Corona crisis, if you look at food trucks, they're a little bit of a virus delivery system, if you know what I'm talking about. They're just driving around, like, giving people Corona.
Yeah, the virus that is pollution.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Great. Well, that was Hot Takes and Hot Cakes. Great movie. Great, great segment, great movie. I think we really nailed that one. Some controversial takes there.
I've got some noticings.
Oh yeah, let's go with it.
And maybe this is even, actually, let's go ahead and go into the director's corner.
Oh, we're opening it up.
So in the film, Jon Favreau invites the critic to come back for a second meal, but this time he's going to blow him away. He's going to cook a brand new menu and not that old stuff that the restaurant was serving. He's going to really knock his socks off. He's got his trunk filled with groceries and meat. He's ready to just cook up a storm, right? But then Dustin Hoffman says, 5 minutes till Wapner. And then can't cook the meal, right? So he goes back to his, like, house, I guess, his, like, chef lab somewhere.
Yeah, that make any sense.
And he just proceeds to cook all that food he bought and makes, like, a big, like, six-course meal. Like, you know, he's like, it all looks fucking delicious. He makes this pork with some various sauces on there. He's, like, deep-frying some stuff. He's making, like, his own caramel, like sheets of caramel that he's breaking with a hammer. You know, he's throwing that sugar on top of the berries, the perfect fluff of whip on top of those berries. You know, he just makes this lavish, extensive meal, which was supposed to be the meal that he's serving at the restaurant. And I think they missed a big opportunity when you have a movie called Chef starring a fat guy, and he's just lost his job. They should have just showed him chowing down all that food himself. He should have just filled up the... Yeah, yeah. So my director's corner is that they were really missing the scene where he, you know, fills up his kitchen with all that delicious food, and then he just fucking eats it all and just, you know, feels bad about himself.
So yeah, that's great. I have a quick director's corner ad, if you will.
Sure.
Everyone knows that when you're on the road, which they're doing all the time, a constant crisis is diarrhea. You're only eating fast food. In their case, they're only eating Cuban sandwiches and fried plantains. So I'm imagining these guys are just shitting constantly. We don't have any, like, roadside, oh my god, pull over, like, accidentally shitting your pants type scenes, because we've all done that. On the road. On the road, everyone shit themselves or gotten very close or accidentally shit on your shoes.
Because we're not stopping, okay? We're not. Those rest areas are disgusting. Okay?
They're gross.
Yeah.
You have to find, like, a used sock, you know, to wipe your ass on the side of the road. Maybe, so, you know. And that's just part of the road.
Yeah.
And I think they could have touched on the reality of driving more than a couple hours because, you know, you're always going to shit yourself. So I think they really missed out. on a nice.
Yeah, I didn't see a bathroom in that food truck.
There wasn't one. I checked.
That's another. I checked. Another reason why food trucks are awful. Where the fuck are you supposed to go to the bathroom?
Where do you poop after you have a grease?
Where does the staff go to the bathroom?
I mean. As a
every
person,
staff of every food yeah. truck is just shitting their pants
all the time,
pissing themselves. That's why you can't see their weight below their waists.
It's brown. Their white aprons yeah. are brown. And I just, every time I watch one of these movies, I count the bathroom scenes because I like to know about the realism of it. And to be honest, it just wasn't enough. And I think that, look, this is about food. Don't forget about what happens after you eat food.
Yeah, I mean, they're driving all the way from Florida back to L.A. There needs to be at least 17 scenes where they're saying, oh, I gotta take shit.
Pull over, quick.
Pull over, quick.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just not realistic.
Yeah, it's just not realistic.
Use a montage if you must, but we just need a montage of them spraying diarrhea their ass on the side of the road.
They have the perfect cover of that food truck. You could just let go.
Oh, sorry, officer. That was chili, not diarrhea, that we just sprayed out of my ass onto your windshield.
But the cop would nod and be like, I understand, son. It's the way of the road.
And we know this is true because of what happened with Dave Matthews Band when they unloaded all of their shit onto a boat filled of tourists. Yeah.
Well, they have Dave Matthews Band lives a life of luxury. They have a toilet in their vehicle. But for all of us that don't, all of us that have shit our pants hundreds of times on the road, I just wish they would cover that topic a bit more. So and maybe in the sequel, Chefs, they could highlight the shitting scenes a bit more for me. And I think that's my director's corner right there.
Any other noticings, or
aside from the lack of toilet visits, the food looked great. It legitimately looked really tasty. Robert Downey Jr.'s scene made no sense. I think I kind of said that. I don't know.
Yeah,
I thought it was
one thing I did notice on my second watch was when they get to the point where they're driving the food truck. There's only a half hour left of the movie, whereas in my memory, that was like the majority of the movie was like the fun they're having driving the food truck.
It's a bit of a castaway situation.
Right.
Yeah. But so it was still fun leading up to that. Like it's like a fun, it's unlike Castaway. This is a
right.
fun
it does,
movie.
It doesn't drag. I just, when they got to it, I was like, oh wow, this movie's almost over. But this is like the fun part that I remember.
It doesn't drag, man. That's such a good thing about this movie.
Were you rushing or were you dragging?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a clean. It's a little under 2 hours, right? About an hour and 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Classic film.
Classic.
I can't believe it didn't win Oscar.
It should have won the Oscar for best food in a movie.
Yeah.
Best actress. Sophia Vergara's little booby. I don't know where I was going with that one. All right.
Hey, I have one more thing that I just thought of, actually. And I've been thinking of this recently. So, you know when you watch a movie and you scroll to the end of the credits, and at the end there's always something that says, no animals were harmed during the filming of this movie?
Yeah.
They're literally, like, cooking pork in this movie.
That's true.
So, clearly animals were harmed. So were they able to put that seal of approval in this movie? Because we see them, and really any movie where people are eating meat, should they be allowed to have that? And beyond that,
wow,
what if craft services for a film is serving meat? How can you say that no animals were harmed during the filming of this movie? That's absurd.
I think you've
just exposed.
In fact,
if anyone that works on any movie consumes meat or any animal products at all during the entire lifetime of the movie, during the gestation phase to the financing phase, production, directing, editing, all the way to manufacturing the film that the movie is seen on, any one of those people consumes any animals, you should not be allowed to have that label. You should have a big label that says animals were harmed during the making of this film.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think that all movies need to have that animals were harmed making this movie at the end.
Unless no one that even looked at the movie has eaten meat in their life.
Right. I think that's right. I think that's a good point. You just exposed big Hollywood.
Bullshit when they're, yeah.
You know.
It's like, oh, yeah, no, we didn't actually murder horses while this movie was being filmed like they did on a lot of movies.
Right. I mean, they do it all the time. It's Hollywood for you.
But, yeah, that's just, you know, that's just, they just care about the cute animals.
Yeah. Bunny rabbits. I don't see any rabbit being served in this. But they don't care about the cool pigs, you know. Mm. They just chop up a whole pig in this. They cut off its head. It's brutal.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's get to the brunchiness, yeah?
On that note.
I think this is...
Who wants bacon?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is so brunchy, man. I think this nailed it.
This is a brunchy movie, yeah.
This is one of the brunchier movies I've seen. It has great music. It's upbeat. And even the down scenes, like the big character arc where he snaps at the critic, it's actually really funny. And he smushes a cake, you know, and it's just funny. It's not exactly on the same level as the brunchiest, but it's right there for me. I'm going with a 6.5 on brunchiness.
Wow, that's a really high brunch rating.
Yeah.
I won't go that high. I think of all the contemporary movies that we've watched, meaning from this decade, it is the brunchiest.
It has divorce. It's during the daytime. It has food.
Yes. But it's still missing, I don't know, it's missing like a bounciness that brunch movies have. Something about just like a goofiness that doesn't really have. It's a pretty realistic movie. And I don't know how well realism plays into brunchiness.
I'd say that there's the goofiness is it picks up after he has his meltdown. You know, they're going to the Cuban bar, they're dancing with their kid. Like it's lighthearted. It's just the 90s had this glean about them. You're right though. I think it's just the manner in which 90s movies were written or whatever.
This is a good thing about the movie. It doesn't feel like you're necessarily watching a movie. It doesn't feel overwritten.
Yeah.
But that is maybe something that adds a little bit of brunchiness for me. For this critic.
I'd say the Robert Downey Jr. scene took me out of the movie a little bit because he's such a movie star kind of guy and his role. Aside from that, I think I see where you're coming from. And in a movie that was made in the last 10 years, though, I think this is a close approximation to what can be brunchy. It's hard because we can't forgive movies for the poor writing like we can in the 90s and dismiss it as in the 90s because this came out like 5-6 years ago, right?
Yeah. So you also tune in a decade from now when we revisit these movies, and then we're like, oh, this is awful.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I have a feeling this one will hold up.
Maybe not all the Twitter stuff.
No, or even the Vine, which is now TikTok.
Yeah, they talk about Vine already dead.
Yeah. So let's get to our pairings, right? You agree, it's certified brunchy, yeah.
Yeah, brunchy.
Cool. So in quarantine, everything is about self-preservation, self-containment, and not really external stimulus. And watching a movie like this will make you hungry, make you miss going out to movies, miss going out to the restaurants, miss going out with your friends, because it's just so upbeat and lively. You want to be on the beach. You want to be crushing tacos and stuff, you know? And this is a great opportunity to train yourself to ignore stimulus. So that you can become
like the stimulus package.
Right, exactly. So don't take that money. Become a monk.
Give it to us.
Give it to us. Contribute to your favorite brunch movie podcast. And then, you know, so watch this movie, but don't eat. I know, this is crazy. The pairing is train yourself to become the master quarantiner. by watching this movie and not get hungry and not feel enthralled and not feel happy. So you should feel numb. If you get hungry,
what do you have to do?
You need to punch yourself in the stomach.
Okay.
Or hit yourself in the nuts if you're a guy, because that can kind of upset your stomach, you know, if you get like hit in the nuts. Get that lower belly ache.
And then do you keep watching it?
Yeah, no, you have to keep watching it. You cannot allow the external stimulus to excite you. You need to become numb to the world outside.
How many times do you think you have to watch it before you can succeed in this
62 endeavor? You got time.
What are you allowed to eat a bunch before so that you're full and then watch it?
Look, we're not eating during quarantine, right? This is what I'm talking about. Okay. Yeah, we're drinking Soylent. We're taking vitamins and we're riding this out without stimulus. So we need to make this an opportunity to reset ourselves. Yeah. And this movie is a perfect choice because it looks delicious and it looks so much fun. But oppositely, you should not have fun. Yeah. That's my pairing.
Listen, I gotta go to the farmer's market, pick up some ingredients.
Okay. Can I come?
I was thinking I'd drop you off at the restaurant. Molly's there.
No, I want to go with you.
You're not going to be asking me for everything you see?
No.
It's not about you eating. It's about me buying groceries.
I know.
Okay, my pairing is this movie was written, directed, and stars Jon Favreau. So this is the Jon Favreau special. And in the movie, Jon Favreau tweets at the critic, "You wouldn't know a good meal if it sat on your face." Well, this meal is going to basically anything that kind of like in the film Jon Favreau has touched. Beyond just like the cooking, just like, so what you're going to have is you're going to have one, Jon Favreau is going to sit on your face to start.
Great. I'm in. Cornstarch balls and all.
Right. Exactly. He's going to cornstarch the balls, then he's going to sit on your face, and you have to eat the cornstarch out of his ass and balls.
Jesus Christ. That's a that's a brutal.
And then after that, it's time for dessert, and he's going to take the molten cake and crush it in his hand and yell, "It's molten!" in your face, and then slam the sloppy, crushed molten cake into a plate. And then he's going to freak out in front of you and yell at you whatever's on his mind for a while. And then you get to eat the molten cake.
Did you get any Cubano sandwiches or anything?
No.
Oh, fuck. That's a brutal brunch.
Yeah.
We deserve it because we're little piggies, you know?
Yep.
I think that that sounds delicious.
I'm not saying you're going to enjoy this brunch.
No, it doesn't sound very enjoyable. Neither does mine, to be honest. These both are pretty brutal brunch.
The movie will more than make up for that.
Yeah, that's a great pairing.
Just because we can't have nice things.
We can't.
During
no, everyone
Corona.
Needs
so
to
you're
be
gonna watch
miserable.
This movie, but there's gonna be some misery behind it.
I think that's fair.
And hopefully, by the time this podcast comes out, coronavirus is over, and Trump has found the cure. We're all injecting bleach,
Avigan, Remdesivir, fucking that nonsense about. Vaccines, which we don't believe in. We're an anti-vax podcast, so this is going to be with us for the rest.
But we're a pro bleach.
Yeah. Man,
you can inject bleach into my child anytime, but don't you dare put a vaccine in there. The bleach just cleans you all out. It's tremendous what it does.
It's tremendous. You know, the virus gets to the lungs, and it does a number on the lungs. What if you could just get some
bleach in there, just some Clorox, just
dry
huff some Clorox fumes.
I was at a smoothie. I was picking up a smoothie on the way back from the grocery store.
A smoothie?
Which is a cool movie. A smoothie.
Which is not a roughie.
No.
Which is...
Yeah, exactly. So I was picking up a smoothie and I had a cough and I'm wearing a mask and I'm like, I'm holding back this cough because I don't want to be labeled. I want to freak everyone out because I'm coughing. So the cough is slowly building in my chest. And I'm like, oh, no, this is going to be a disaster. I get the smoothie and I run outside. I just start hack coughing. Of course, I'm fine. It was just like a minor irritation. But it was a very scary moment, a very social moment for me there. I don't know why I'm sharing that right now, but... Just leave that in your thoughts. Yeah.
Should we give him some more thoughts just on our own bodily functions?
Well, we talked about shitting on the side of the road, which is constant.
Yeah.
You know, and
so I'll throw it in. You're having trouble coughing. I'm currently pissing blood because I think I have a kidney stone.
So
keep me in your thoughts well. Think about me pissing blood.
Think about
and
me
and the pain I'll be in as I pass my stones.
Yeah. Think about
it's
me.
It's not my first time around the block, okay? And I know you're asking, I waited until after marriage until I passed my stone.
Uh-huh.
So.
There you go.
All right, until next week.
feel better, Andy.
Give you an update on my old stones.
Yeah, let me know how the stones are going. All right, we'll sign it off.